Today is Sunday, January 24th, 2021. This is a Part 11 Grand Canyon Oral History interview with Peter Brown, B-E-T-E-R-B-R-O-W-N. My name is Tom Martin. Good afternoon, Peter. How are you today?
Pretty good, Tom.
Today we are at River Mile 243 doing another layover on this river trip through the Grand Canyon National Park on the Colorado River. Today is day 26 of our river trip. This is a part 12 oral history, and the river is quiet here, deathly quiet. The rapids are all behind us now. And can you recount the last day of running the rapids in the Grand Canyon from Trail Canyon at River Mile 219.75 to here, River Mile 243? That's a little over 23 mile day.
Yeah, we had a great day yesterday. Ran the last rapids, the canyon, and now we're down here in the old Lake Mead sediments. The rapids we did yesterday included Diamond Creek, which was a lot of fun, a nice long rapid. And then, of course, we get into that fast water down there in that in the lower inner gorge, which tends to have a lot of eddies. And it's the eddies that, Tule boat seems to have the most trouble with, just because it does tend to get pulled under pretty easily with those. So I took actually the raft flipped in, I think it was 232.
Killer Fang?
Not Killer Fang. Killer Fang, it did just wonderful.
Okay, so that's 232.
Okay, then 231 is wonderful.
Above there. Okay.
What was the rapid we stopped at lunch?
Just above 231.
Then that was it, 231.
Okay.
All right. But otherwise, it was a very good day, no problems at all. Raft's okay. Doing great. One issue that we've got with the raft right now, so it's probably good we're getting near the end here, is that the nose is getting very weak on it. Now, whether that's from us pulling it, whether it's from running into rapids, weren't running into waves so much, or a combination of both, more than likely.
So I should mention that the rigging on the Tule raft nose includes an additional cordage going from the very nose about a quarter of the way toward the back of the boat to use as a handle when moving the boat in and out of the water. So it gets yanked on pretty hard.
It does.
And it's anchored on a dowel on the one end, and on the other end it's just wrapped around the nose of the Tule, so it's kind of bending or breaking the Tule tip.
Well, and it was originally designed as well, cordage, there's sort of a pull cord to actually get the nose up a little bit, and it's been up for most of the trip, so and that tends to be out of the water. But I think that's mostly because there's, you know, me sitting in the middle tends to...
Right, out of the water as you're paddling it.
Yeah, as I'm paddling it.
Okay. So. And so people do yank on that pretty aggressively to help you get that boat out of the water at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And so that would...
Or just at lunch or whatever, we stop at any place.
Right, whenever we stop during the day to pull the boat out of the water. I also wanted to mention that we had a very high wind gust in the middle of the night.
At Trail Canyon.
And the Tule had been propped up with a kayak paddle. And the paddle was sort of placed between two of the bundles. And the Tule boat fell over, drove the kayak paddle right through it and flopped down on the ground. And...
kind of got a couple of the bundle cord loops kind of caught and Kind of tweak those a little bit, but doesn't look like any real structural damage from it at
all. Right, it looks like it may have broke a couple of the reeds.
Yeah.
Going from, you know, bow to stern, the full length of the boat, run these reeds. But otherwise, it didn't seem to trouble it at all.
No, uh-uh. So,
so at this point, we are 243, 53, 63, 73. We are 35 miles from the end of Grand Canyon. The question I have for you is, if this was a pre-dam trip, we would have Separation Rapid and Spencer Canyon, also called Lava Cliff, and a number of smaller rapids, none of which you haven't boated through before. Do you think the craft still has the ability to handle 30 miles of flat water and the occasional rapid?
It certainly has the ability to handle the 30 more miles of flat water we've got. No question about that. That is a good question. If we had these 30 more miles of rapids, if we were doing this trip 500 years ago, could it handle that extra mileage? I think it probably could. It's still got a good structural integrity to it, so I don't think it's gonna be too. It would still be able to handle it for sure. Bottom line is, a Thule raft could go through the Grand Canyon if someone had ever wanted to take one through it.
This is the beginning of a new year, 2021, and you are completing a first, assuming that you get all the way through the canyon here and 30 miles of flat water with the little Thule boat and the wind and weather and whatever doesn't
snow, supposedly.
If the water doesn't come up in the middle of the night and float the little boat away. firsts are rare in Grand Canyon anymore, especially boating firsts. And this is a boating first with a documented Thule raft, possibly the first boat to raft through the Grand Canyon. Do you have any thoughts on what you're thinking as you paddle along about setting a first, recording Grand Canyon?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I've mentioned this to you, and I hope I mentioned it in this oral history, but it's an incredibly intimate way of going down the river.
Can you talk about that?
Very much in contact with the water, and right there, 2 inches above the water, every little riffle is a blast. I mean, it's even fun going through the riffles, and certainly it's been fun going through the rapids. As for me, I certainly thank you for the opportunity to do this. Secondly, anybody could have ridden that raft that had a dry suit on and didn't mind getting wet occasionally, falling off the raft. Certainly going through the rapids has been, an adventure. But just traveling the canyon, it's such a quiet way to go down the river. It moves well, it floats well. I never did see any bighorn sheep, but I bet, right next to the water, but I bet I could just get right close to them and they might not freak out as much as a big old raft or something like that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's been an adventure, certainly, and it's been a lot of fun, certainly.
Would you do it again?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Let's build a two-person one next time and can carry a few bags. And
yeah. Well, I want to thank you for paddling this thing, for being committed to paddle it all the way through. That's a commitment in itself. We assumed, Hazel Clark, my wife, before the trip, that the Thule raft would make it a day or two, and that you were going to row her boat the rest of the way.
And yeah, and I
day
apologize.
10, Hazel's like, when's Pete going to row my boat?
And I have to apologize to Hazel for failing to help on the boat, I guess. Next time.
Yeah, yeah. But I'm totally amazed that that the little boat did so well. Of course, just it's my own ignorance for not knowing that it could do this. And should do this.
Yeah, who knew that, you know, first of all, that the Thule reed would have that much buoyancy. I mean, you know, we have been able to get it out of the water and dry it out on layover days and such. But I'm quite amazed. I figured for sure. I mean, you know, I think in our first interview, it was like, that's going to be the question in my mind, is it's going to be able to keep floating for that long. And it certainly has.
I remember you talking about that.
Yeah.
And what happened? How did that buoyancy work out?
I'm pretty sure it's about as buoyant. I mean, I think I've got as much side clearance on it as I have, you know, right now, as the first day we put it in the water. So
okay, so it's not like it's sinking.
Not like it's sinking at all. But, and it's not like it's getting any harder to move through the water, anything that it's, you know, completely waterlogged or anything like that.
And so where it's wearing out is abrasion from your feet
and
just rough and tumble being yanked around here and there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And you know, I do think that hitting some of these waves has you know, impacted some of the structural integrity to it for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know they've whacked into me quite hard.
Right. Well, you're sitting up, and yeah, so that there would definitely be some structural force put into
exactly.
the craft by the water.
Yep.
Right. Let's kind of make another assumption, assuming no dam, assuming 500 years ago, assuming you know how to swim, and the water is warm. The water is 70 degrees.
Yeah.
Without a life jacket, without a dry suit, which operating this kind of craft in December, January is a must.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the potential?
And the damn water temperature that we're dealing with right now.
Correct.
Too.
Correct.
Yeah. No. And that's a good question, Tom. Because if it was the real Colorado, 70 degrees, turbid, you know, lots of sand and silt and so on in it. First of all, in terms of the life jacket, PFD on it, one of the things is I have not had any trouble holding onto the raft when I fall off or the raft flips. So right there, I think someone would have a real advantage to going downstream with the buoyancy of the raft coupled with the ability to climb back onto it. It's, you know, there's a pretty good safety factor on there for a person to do that.
I hadn't thought of that.
It just occurred to me as well.
Mm-hmm.
That the PFD, you know, yeah, I mean, obviously, I'd like to have the PFD on and needed, you know, it's a must-have for us.
It's a requirement.
But
a regulatory requirement.
Yeah. Yeah. And we wouldn't do it without it anyway.
Right.
But someone could, you know, that would be their safety device, the raft would be.
Right.
So
they would also need to know to hang on to
their paddle. Yeah. And I've never let go of the paddle once. So
but you're trained in that. I mean, you know.
Okay, but I mean,
hold on to your paddle, hold on to the boat, and then turn the boat over if you need to, hanging on to your paddle.
I think
get going.
I think if somebody was actually trying to go down the river, you know, either accidentally or on purpose, they would certainly learn that very soon as well.
Well, I think we need to remember that the Kokopa and the Mojave were excellent boaters, and
mm-hmm.
they knew to hang on to their paddle.
And how to climb back on the raft.
And how to climb back on the raft, because they were good at what they were doing.
Sure.
So I think someone skilled in that would have an easy time and actually might enjoy the journey, putting it together.
Well, I, in terms of enjoying the journey, that's. I mean, I would think that they might, you know, obviously they were pretty used to long distance travel in the first place, in many cases, and so this would be another adventure for them, for someone in 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago,
or 2,000 or 3,000 years ago.
Yeah,
yeah. What questions have I not asked you that you would like to speak to?
Well, again, I, you know, in terms of just the fun part of it, certainly it has been an adventure. But again, it's you know, I've seen some videos of people actually, you know, purposefully swimming some of the rapids at various and sundry times, and it's not all that scary. It's actually, you know, quite a little adventure. You know, with our modern equipment. Certainly, you know, 500 years ago, it would have been, and obviously, I mean, you know, we know in many cases there's lots of deaths and disasters that have occurred in the canyon and various rapids and such. But with PFDs and a dry suit on and holding on to a Thule raft, going through some of those rapids has been a lot of fun. So swimming through those rapids has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and but, river runners were swimming the rapids with and without life jackets in the 1940s and 50s.
Exactly.
So it you know, yeah absolutely. And it is interesting. Your run in the Thule boat kind of reminds me of Bill Beer and John Daggett.
Yeah.
And was it 1954? Yeah. Sitting on their little floats, just floating at the speed of the river. Of course, they had no paddles, and you're going faster than them.
Sure.
So they really enjoyed it. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was an adventure that did go right.
Exactly.
Was there an adventure that did, you know...
Yeah, they completed.
Yeah, but what was the subtitle of their book? A Weekend at...
Oh, yeah. A Cheap Vacation That Got a Little Out of Hand,
something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
Yeah. Well, with that, this will conclude then part 12, Grand Canyon Oral History Interview with Peter Brown. My name is Tom Martin. Today is Sunday, January 24th, 2021. This is day 26 of our Grand Canyon River trip in Grand Canyon National Park on the Colorado River with a homemade Thule raft. Pete, thank you very much.
Sure thing, Tom. Thank you.